Good morning and welcome. It's good to see you this morning. Thanks for coming. As Greg pointed out, this is the second Sunday of the year 2023. And before you know it, it will be 3 months and 6 months into the year. That's the way it goes, you know. And by the way, time waits for nobody. And as you get older, you start to think about time and the precious, how precious time really is. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I do, yeah, a few of you, thank you. When your life turns over to the 60s and the 70s and 80s and age, you start to really think about life and about eternity. Some of you remember dear old Ted. Remember Ted? Some of you are new here, but some of you would remember Ted. Dear old Ted was 98 years of age. And every Sunday I would pick Ted up and drive him to church, and it was a good 25 or 30 minute ride. And we'd have a lot of time to chat. And we would chat about a lot of things. And I said to Ted one day, I quizzed him, and what do you attribute, Ted, your long life to? What is that? And this is what he said in essence. He said, faith, prayer, respect and love. Let me repeat that. Faith, prayer, respect and love. And I thought, and that was him, wasn't it, Ted? And he was such a good man. And I used to joke with him too about when he reached 100, that he had to give, Barb, you know what I'm talking about. The idea when he reached 100, he had to give everybody in the congregation $100 cash. But he never made it. But never made it. Dear old Ted. And as I said, as you get older, you become more reflective. Now this morning I wanted to share with you just briefly, the subject this morning is the wonder of God. And I want to pick up somewhere where Gavin left off last week. Now you remember Gavin spoke about expectation. Do you remember? Some of you do. All right. Well, Gavin spoke about expectation, that you can expect from God. Henry Ford once said this, expect nothing, get nothing. The Bible says, can you give me that first slide up there, please, Pete? It says there, give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over. It will be poured out into you. For the measure that you use will be the measure that you give. And that could be interpreted in all things. The amount of charity you give, the amount of love you give, the amount of forgiveness you give. The measure you give out is the measure you get back. So we're speaking about the wonder of God. You know, yeah. Well, you can't outgive God. I mean, in all the things that we do, and the thing is that when we give, God gives us back, so we can give again. You know, and we're expected to give. It's part of being who we are as Christians. You know, we are the people of God. Amen.
Amen.
And by the way, we have the attention of God. Put that next slide up, if you would, for me, Pete. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. You see, people outside of this church and on the street, they look at us as a bunch of fools. This is absolute foolishness. Why are you wasting your time in here? Well, if it makes you feel better, it's okay. They think we're foolishness. But it says there, to those who are perishing. You see, Jesus was rejected when he walked this earth. He was despised. Nothing's changed. They still despise and reject him right now. You know, the move is on and it's becoming very powerful now where they're trying to get all Christianity out of everywhere. Schools, a whole lot. I heard the story just a little while ago about a father who objected to his child in the primary school about Christmas. So you know what the school did? One parent. They cancelled the whole lot. Wouldn't it have been better if the parent didn't bring his kid that day? But that's how powerful it's become. Jesus is despised and rejected then, and he is despised and rejected now.
Amen.
Yeah. Next slide, please, Pete. As I said, we are the people of God and we have the attention of God. Let me read to you in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now we're talking about the wonder of God this morning. And we see how God created something out of nothing. The wonder of God. And in verse 2 it says there, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Holy Spirit was present from the very beginning. He was there. Now, and we see how God, and I'm not going to give you all these scriptures because there's too many, but just quickly. But in Genesis it says this, and God, it says in chapter 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Verse 6, God said, let the vaults between the waters to separate water from the water. In verse 9, God said. Then in verse 11, God said. And then verse 14, God said. And so it goes on. And then verse 27, so God said, God created man in his own image. In verse 26 it says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the air, and over the livestock and over the wild animals and over all creatures. So God created this earth for us, and he gave us dominion over all animals, over all creatures. He gave us that authority. Now, unfortunately, we've kind of messed it up a little bit by polluting the earth and what we do. Yeah, we have. You know, it's the wonder of God. God said, God said, God said. Now, I don't know about you, but I watch a lot of National Geographic. You know, you ever watch that on TV? Yeah. You know, I watched one last night. They went so deep in the submarine, they'd never gone that deep before. And I watch, you know, some of those programs, and you look at those National Geographics, and you are in awe of wonder. Because that is the wonder of God's creation. You know, I like early in the morning to get up at 5:30, which in fact now is 4:30, real time, and go for a walk. And the sun is just starting to come up. The magpies are singing. The cool breeze. And I'm out there and there's no one around. And I think, Lord, thank you. It is the wonder of God. You know, I love all those incredible landscapes. You know, I watch England, let me bore you just a little bit, but I watch those English shows. Doc Martin. I love Doc Martin. There you go. Crumpy old thing he is. But you know, I love that Cornwall scenery. I watch it for a couple of reasons. One of them is the Cornwall scenery. I had the opportunity of being in Cornwall and I preached at an Anglican church. You know, it was quite an experience, you know, out in the wilderness there. But it was... what a beautiful place. And then I like Midsummer's Murders. I watch those for a couple of reasons. I like the all the English villages. They're beautiful. But don't ever go there because it's so dangerous. There's always at least two or three murders every week there, Tony. I don't know what's going on in that town. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, very dangerous place indeed. But anyway, this is just a gentle introduction to really what I want to say. And here's the message this morning. Here's the question. Has the church lost the wonder of God? Let me say it again. Has the church lost the wonder of God? And I'm talking about the church universal. When you look at the scriptures, both the Old and New Testament, it really is a showcase of God's wondrous works. I read before from Genesis chapter 1. Turn, if you would, Genesis chapter 2, Pete. It says there, this is from Genesis. The Lord God formed a man from dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and then the man became a living being. How about that? That we were created out of dust, and God breathed into the man's nostrils. What an incredible wonder. You know, when I conduct a funeral, I often would say, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. This is just the container. God created Adam from dust. And then he created a woman, the second part of Genesis. That next part, please, the next one. And so the Lord God caused a man to fall deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. He created a woman from the man's rib. But when you look at that again, that's it, thanks, Pete. He put Adam to sleep. Must have given an anesthetic or something. And then he took the rib from the man, and then it says he closed up the skin. You can almost say that Adam had an operation. Yeah. The wonder of God. The story of Moses. You know, how he parted the Red Sea. Be good to have Moses around today on the road between Altona and Geelong. Moses, any chance you could just give us a, you know, there's such a big traffic jam right now. Can you help us out if he was still around today? Let me move on to the New Testament. Let's talk about Jesus for a few minutes. We've just celebrated Christmas, about the birth of the Christ child, the Son of God. But he was born to die. And his destiny was laid out before him. Jesus' destiny was laid out before him. It was foretold in the Old Testament about what would happen to Jesus. Now, some scholars believe that that was foretold something like 900 years before it actually happens. It was foretold. Next one, Pete. It says there that he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearer is silent. And so he did not open his mouth. And you know that reference to sheep before the shearer. You know, when you see a sheep and they're being sheared, they're just there. And they don't say anything, they don't make any noises, they just relaxed. And that's how Jesus went like a lamb to the slaughter, and they slaughtered him. Let's move into the New Testament, Matthew chapter 4. Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Now we all know the story of the 40 days and 40 nights in the desert. And by the way, it was desert. There was just rocks and dust and a few hills. That was it. There was nothing out there. Imagine spending 40 days and 40 nights. And Jesus was probably physically at his weakest point. And there comes along Satan with all kinds of temptations to him. "If you will bow down before me." And Jesus hit him back with the scripture and said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." But it's interesting to see what Satan did. Satan reversed it and started to hit him back with the scripture and said to Jesus, "For it is written." 40 days and 40 nights. The wonder of God. And it says at the end, "Then the devil left him and angels came and attended him." We don't talk much about angels today, do we? The angels came and attended him. The wonder of God. Luke 22, verses 43 to 44. Pete. "And an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish," this is just prior to his crucifixion, "being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling upon the ground." Can you imagine that? He said, Lord, if it be your will, then take this cup from me. But not my will, but your will. Imagine the anguish, because Jesus knew what he was about to face. Drops of blood. And the angels came and attended to him. And just a quick one, a personal one. Years ago, I guess my father's been passed away probably, 10 or 12 years now. And when he was in the hospital, my father died, by the way, of asbestosis. You know, that's that, is that what you call it? Mesothelioma as well, yeah. And he died of asbestos. And but I used to go visit him in the Royal Melbourne every night after work, and I'd go and sit with my dad, have a bit of a chat. And he was the healthiest looking sick person I've ever seen. Does that make any sense? He didn't look sick. He didn't act sick. The only reason you knew he was sick is because he had this bottle down here, kept draining his lungs of fluid. But beyond that, he was very positive, and I would always have a good time visiting him. So this particular night I went in to visit my dad, and we had a good chat like we normally would, and it was time to leave, so I left. But when I got to the nurse's station there, and I was talking to the doctor, about my dad. I can't remember what I was chatting about. So we had a bit of a chat, and then I felt this prompting to go back in. I didn't get a tap on the shoulder or someone whisper in my ear, go back and see your dad. But I knew in my heart or in my spirit, can you understand that? That I was prompted to go back. So I went back in, and what I did was I straightened up my dad's pillow and we're having a chat. And he said to me, John, who's those three blokes at the front of the bed? I said, what three blokes? He said, those three blokes there. I said, well, what do they look like, Dad? He said, they're all dressed in white. And I knew what that was. You see, they were preparing to take my father home. And often it is, and I've said it before here, but the dying can see what the living can't. You say it again, the dying can often see what the living can't. Yeah, well, that's right, yeah. And so, I thought, wow, you know, that was quite, it was kind of reassuring, if you like. That's the wonder of God. Now, last week, Gavin spoke about expectation. But he also shared something very personal about, it was 15 years ago on the 29th, they lost their son. Gavin and Diane lost their son. Tragic accident. I had the privilege of leading that service, the memorial service, up around the corner at the Anglican Church. And it was packed. Some of you were there. And as he said, the agony and the pain of going through something like that, I can't imagine that. To lose one of your children. And he talked about the heartbreak and the pain. But he also spoke from Romans 8:28, I think it is. And we know that in all things God works for good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And he wasn't saying about losing his son was a good thing. That can never be a good thing. But what he was saying was that through that journey, it had drawn them closer to God. They'd learned so much more from God. And we know that all the things God works for the good for those who love him. Amen. And I, as I said, it was an incredible testament of the wonder of God in someone's life. I wanted to do one more and I'll finish up. Some of you might remember we had, and I was kind of thinking about this one, but I put it in not, but I will. But do you remember a couple of years ago, we had a healing meeting one morning, and there were people that came and gave their testimony. Do you remember that? Yeah. One lady. What's that?
One of the blokes had a sports bike.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah. Well, we bought, so, you know, often when you hear about the miraculous of God, you know, and this happened, but you never meet them. But you only hear about it. And I didn't want that to happen. I wanted those people who had had some wonder of God intervention in their life, I wanted them to be here so you could meet them. And I bought one lady who was suffering with cancer and another lady who had been healed. So I brought them together. And the two families came here. They hadn't met until they came here. Well, they got it talking. Now they're very, very good friends, the two families, even though they live miles apart. And they met through this church here. And that one particular lady, you know the story, she was prayed right here in this church. And God healed her, intervened in a situation. There was another part to her story, and you remember it. Her granddaughter was on the bridge in London. Remember that?
Yes.
And she was attacked by a terrorist and stabbed 27 times. How does someone get through that? Gone through cancer, got healed, and then this happens. The same thing. The wonder of God that they were able to lean upon God and God got them through the other side. And one more part of that story, we had someone here that was diagnosed with lung cancer. You know, was going to start treatment at Peter MacCallum. You know, and in the x-rays and whatever it was that showed that there's a big mass in his lung. Fellow was a heavy smoker. His wife died of the same thing. So he came here and we prayed for him. You as a congregation, those of you were there. And a couple of weeks when he went back to start his treatment at Peter MacCallum, the mass was no longer there.
Hallelujah.
Hmm. He was here in his church. He met those other people. It's not my words, these are his words. But the interesting thing was, the wonder of God had intervened in his life. Never saw him ever again. It kind of reminds you of the story of the lepers. That it was 10 came, only one ever came back. What is that? You know, God intervened, the creator of the universe had intervened in his life. Never saw him ever again. Even though I'd called him a number of times. Let me finish where I started. The wonder of God, the wonder of redemption, the wonder of forgiveness, the wonder of eternal life, the wonder of peace, the wonder of hope. There's a heart surgeon in America, well known. He said, hope is a medicine. He said, I prescribe that more than anything else. That hope is a medicine. Joy and peace. As Gavin said last week, and the scripture backs it up, God is with us. Amen?
Amen.
And so, in finishing, let me just ask you this question. Do you still have the wonder of God? Do you still have the expectation of God that he can divinely intervene? Or that he is available, he hears your prayer? And maybe for the year 2023, it's a good time to recommit your life to him. Asking to say, Lord, I just recommit my life to you. I mean, the people outside this church need us. God bless you this morning. Please stand with me. Thanks, Noel. Let's pray. And this morning too, as we spoke, like at the end of the service, if there is someone here today that requires prayer, I don't think you should be embarrassed. you come and we, the elders, myself, and leadership of the church will pray with you. Now, I'm going to put my hand up and tell you that I need the elders and anybody else that wants to come up to pray for me. Because I get back in the hospital on Wednesday morning for another procedure on my back. But I'd rather have God operate on me than anybody else. So at the end of the service, if you want to join me out the front here, and we'll pray. And I know some of your stories. And I know that, you know, that God, the wonder of God can intervene in your life. Is there an amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for your gathering here of your people. And Lord, we wonder at the creation of the universe. And you, the Creator, that we, Lord, can speak directly with you. And that we have that right and that, even though we don't deserve it, but we can talk with you, Lord. And the Father, we're able to just hand over, you know, those struggles we have, the pain that is in our hearts sometimes for a sense of loss or whatever, Lord. Or sometimes even our batteries run a little bit low on faith. I pray, Lord, that you'll top us up today. That, Lord, you're a gracious God, a loving God. And, Lord, we just want to thank you today. And as Greg prayed before, we pray for the Brimbank Church of Christ. I ask you, Lord, for each person here right now, that you would bless them in their hearts, in their minds, in their spirit. And all God's people said together,
Amen.
Amen.